We're starting on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Bet today. We're in the middle of this Mishnah, which had started talking about, right, it started with the Egla Rufa Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. And then if you look at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, it had this long list of things. It started from Misharabu Aratzchonim Betela Egla Rufa. Okay, once there were so many murderers, then they stopped doing the Egla Rufa. And then there's a whole series, once it said, when this became great, they stopped this. So they started on a whole slew of other things that got canceled over time. And this mentioned before Shir, this is going to be the depressing daf about all sorts of things that are no longer around. We'll start from Yochanan Kohen Gadol, He'evir Hodayat HaMa'aser. Okay, that was, he got rid of the beetle, the... You know, when you say "Bi'arti Yakom and Abayit Bi'or Ma'asrot," he said, "We're no longer going to do that." If you remember, we had reference to this I don't remember how long ago, but probably about a week or two ago, that it was a problem if you say it and you haven't really done it. It's like lying because you're saying, "I took out all the ma'asrot from the house," but if you haven't done it, then you're actually in essence lying. So what did he do? He got rid of it entirely. People stopped saying it. My time, Amar Rabbi Yossi Barabbi Chanina, Lefi She'ein Notnin Otam Ketikuno. People stopped giving it the way that ma'asrot are supposed to be given. Why? De rachmana amar de yahave le'levim. The Torah says you're supposed to give the ma'asrot to the Levi. Va'anan kayavinan la'kohanim. And people were giving it to the kohanim. Now, why are people giving it to the kohanim? So Rashi tells us that that Ezra made a takana, we saw this in Yevamot, that since people weren't the Levi'im, he made it to kind of that we wouldn't anymore give it to Levi'im. Why is that? Because the Levi'im didn't go up in the Olei Bavel. And as remember, in the time of Ezra, people came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and there were no Levi'im. So he said, we have to give it to the Kohanim. There's actually a Homachloga Tana'im there about, if you recall, whether we can give it to, whether Ma'asrot in general were to be given either to Levi'im or the Kohanim, or they were meant to be given specifically to the Levi'im and not the Kohanim. Remember, Kohanim are from Shevet Levi, right? Or are they specifically meant to be given to the Levi'im and not the Kohanim? And Ezra's takana was, we're kind of, you know, changing what it was meant to be and we're giving it to the Kohanim. Or was it that it could be given to both? And what he was saying is basically, don't give it to the Levi'im at all, give it only to the Kohanim. There's a few different interpretations about how this takana works within those two opinions. But we'll leave it at that for now. The Lodash Armasrot. So why don't they just say, right, because remember, there's Truma, that goes to the Kohen. Then there's Maaser Rishon, which goes to the Levi. There's Maaser Ani, which goes to the poor people. And there's Maaser Sheni, which the people are Mafriish, and then bring up to Rishalayim. So they were clearly giving some of them. It was just the Maaser Rishon that wasn't going to the Levi, it was going to the Kohenim. So why don't we say, Lo Dash Ar Maasrot. They can at least do the Biyor Maasrot. Say, I've given my Maaser Ani, my Maaser Sheni, just not Maaser Rishon. Amarish Lakish. So Rish Lakish says, if you're not going to be moda al Maaser Rishon, then you can't do any of them. My time, what's the reason for this? So Amar Abaye, ho ilu patach bo hakatuv tchila. It's the first thing mentioned in the pasuk of the Maasrot is the Maaser Rishon. So the Levi. So therefore, it's the most important. Okay, so therefore, if you're not going to do that one, then basically you can't do on any of them. So now they're going to say, Michlal da'afrushe havam mefarshe. Mifrushe. So from here we can infer that what? They were actually taking ma'asrot. It was just that they weren't giving them to the Levi'im. They were giving them to the Kohanim. But now we're going to say this seems to contradict something else. V'hatanya, there's a brayta that says, Afhu bitelet havidui v'gazar al hadamai. That he canceled the vidoy. Okay, this is obviously talking about Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was referred to in our Mishnah. He canceled the vidoy ma'asrot, and gazar al hadamai, and he made a gzera on the demai. Lefi shashalach, okay, what's demai? You remember what demai is? Da'mai. We don't know what this is. It's food fruits and vegetables that come from an ama aretz, and we don't know whether they took trumot or ma'asrot. So, he made a gzera on the demai. We're going to see now. Lefi shashalach b'chol gvul Yisrael v'ra'a she'ein mafrishim ela truma gdola b'vad. He saw that when it came to truma, that goes to the Kohen. Now, first of all, what's the issue with truma? First of all, the people were makpid on truma. Why were people makpid on truma gdola? Because there's two truma, right? There's truma gdola that comes from your whole pile. Then once you give the maaser to the Levi is supposed to take truma from there. Okay? What did they realize? The people were giving truma. Why were they giving truma? One of two possible reasons, or maybe both. Number one, it was much smaller. It was only 1/50, or you could even give 1/60 if it was ayin ra'ah, right? There's ayin tova, which is 1/40. But anyway, it's a very small amount, so it's not just such a big hefsed, as opposed to maaser, which is a tenth. And number two, it has kedusha to it. People treated it more seriously. Okay, so therefore, truma gdola they were taking. Umaser rishon, umaser sheni, miktatan maserin, umiktatan ein maserin. Okay, you saw that when it came to maser rishon, umaser sheni, some people were, some people weren't. Amar lehem banai, bovo mar lehem, shem she truma gdola yesh ba avon mita, kach truma maser v'tevel yesh bahen avon mita. Okay, he says to the people, just like truma gdola, if you don't do it, it's mita b'dei shamayim. Also, maaser and tevel, meaning eating something without having taken the maaser, yesh behen avon mita. Why is that? Because, what did I say? That once you take the maaser rishon, you have to take truma from there. So basically, if you don't take maaser rishon, you're eating something that has truma in it, because the truma has to be given to the kohen. So he tells them, you know, you're not getting it, but you have to do that. Amad v'hitkin lahem, so he made a takana, that halokech perot me'ama aretz, Mafrish mehem maaser rishon u'maaser sheni. Okay, he has to take maaser rishon. If you buy perot from an ama aretz, you have to assume that he didn't do maaserot at all. And what do you have to do? You have to be mafrish maaser rishon u'maaser sheni.
Besides maaser ani were applicable.
Or maaser ani, obviously, if it's right. What's maaser ani? It's the maaser sheni is years 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. And maaser ani is, instead of taking that maaser and eating in Yerushalayim, on the third and the sixth year, you would give it to the poor people. So you have to take maaser rishon and maaser sheni, or maaser ani. Maaser rishon, mafrish mimenu truma maaser. You have to then, right, if you're going to be mafrish this maaser, what's the issue? It's not going to go to the Levi, we'll see why. Okay, but you're mafrish mimenu truma maaser, v'notzna l'kohen. And you give, so you take 1/10 of your maaser, and you give it to the kohen. Umaaser sheni, Oleva ochlo b'Yerushalayim. And the maaser sheni you take to eat in Yerushalayim. Maaser rishon u'maaser ani. What's supposed to happen with them? The maaser rishon is supposed to go to the Levi. And the maaser ani is supposed to go to the ani. Right? But what's the issue? It's only misafik, because we don't know if the Am Haaretz took truma to maaserot or not. So it's safik. What do we know when there's safik? And there's issue of dine mamonot. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Okay, what does that mean? The ani or the levi have to prove that the am aretz never took truma to maaserot and that therefore belongs to them. But if they can't prove it, which presumably they can't, because the whole issue is we have no idea if this am aretz did it or not, they have no proof. So what do? You're mafresh, but you can actually eat it yourself. Okay, because it's not like truma where there's kedusha to it and you can't eat it. So you follow, his takana was, you have to separate it out. Take truma from the maaser, separate out the maaser ani, but then it can be yours, basically, because you don't have to give it to anybody else, because the burden of proof lies on them. Then it becomes a dine mamonot issue. Okay, and it takes it out of the iser v'heter once you've been mafresh it, right? Then the question is, what do you do with it once you mafresh it? So the truma, you have to go give it to the kohen, because the truma, if it is actually truma, then you can't have it, obviously. So there's an issue of iser v'heter there. So you have to give it to the kohen. But when it comes to the maaser, which you're, you know, there's no iser to eat the maaser, so then you can actually eat it. Okay. So what's the whole issue from here? It sounds like, right, what was the question? There we said, it sounds like they were mafrish, according to his takana in the beginning in our Mishnah. Right? What did we say? That they were giving it to the kohanim and not the levim. From here, it sounds like they weren't mafrish. Right? It's very likely they weren't mafrish it at all, because we assume the ama aretz aren't taking, and then we have to go take. So that's what's going on here. So now, what are the answer? Tarte tikein. He actually made two takano. Number one, bitel vidoy de chaverim. Now there's chaverim versus amea aretz. Chaverim are people who keep halacha. Amea aretz are people who don't keep halacha. So he made two takano. You know, it depends on your maslul. If you're a chaver and you keep halachot, we're still worried that what's the issue? You're giving the truma, I'm sorry, you're giving the maaser to the levim and not to the kohanim, right? And therefore, I'm sorry, to the kohanim and not to the levim, right? And therefore, you can't, right? They're not giving the maaser in the proper way, and therefore they can't say the vidoy maaser, k'moshet tzarich, because they're not doing it the right way. The second thing he does is gazar al demay shalamei ha'aretz. And in addition, right, and that is what he said, this guy's issue was maaserot in general. He had two issues with the Masra. One was that people are giving it to the wrong people, and therefore they can't do Vidoy Kamasha Sabicha. And the second thing is that the people who are Me'a Aretz aren't doing it at all. And therefore, he made a gzera that everybody has to assume that if you took it from an Ama Aretz, that you basically have to, if you took it from an Ama Aretz, then you have to do the Trumon Masra again. Va'af hu bitelet ha-ma'orim. Now we're going on in the Mishnah. He was mevatel the Orerim. My Me'orerim. Okay, who are those people, the Me'orerim? Amar Rechava, b'chol yom v'yom shayu omdim levi'im al duchan v'omrim. Okay, every day the levi'im were standing on the duchan, okay, in the Beit HaMikdash, v'omrim, ura lama tishan Hashem. Okay, they would quote this pasuk, which says, ura lama tishan Hashem, right? Wake up, why are you sleeping, God? Amar lahen, right, and then the end of that pasuk is hakitza, wake up, al tiznach lanetzach, don't leave us forever. Amar lahen, b'chiye shena lefnei makom. Halokvarna emar, and that's what? Does God sleep? Halokvarna emar, hine lo yinu v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. God never sleeps, right? The watcher of Israel never sleeps. Ela, bizman shisrael shruyim b'tza'ar, v'ovdei kochavim b'nachat, v'shava, right? When Yisrael are b'tza'ar, and ovdei kochavim b'nachat v'shava, lekach ne'emar u'olam atishan Hashem. That's when Bnei Yisrael are suffering, and the non-Jews are living very peacefully, that's when we say, God, where are you, right? Why are you sleeping? So what's the issue here? Okay, and as we do have this pasuk. What's wrong with it, right? And as why did they stop the Levim from saying this? And the whole thing is he got rid of all the Levim that were standing up and saying Ura Lama Tishan Hashem. So then what they're explaining is, right, that what does it mean Ura Lama Tishan Hashem? That basically when we're suffering, it seems like God is sleeping, right? So the question is this a bad thing or a good thing, right? He obviously canceled them because it was a bad thing. On the other hand, you know, that what they're basically explaining the pasuk. The pasuk is saying that that's how we feel, right? It's not that we really think God is sleeping, but it's saying, it's a way of saying, please help us. We're struggling, right? We don't see you in our lives. But what happened with the Levi'im, this is how a mother would always say, it's all about your tone of voice, right? And how you say it. This is one thing to say, Ura Lama Tishan Hashem, right? Stop, remember us, etc. It's like a way of praying. But if you say, why are you sleeping, God? That's not a very appropriate way to speak. And so some of the Mefreshim explained that it was the way they were saying it. It was almost like they were attacking God. You can imagine also that in certain times, right, this might come out differently depending on the way the people are feeling and what's going on. And that it's, you know, over time, it seemed that this turned from them saying this nice song, you know, of kind of a prayer for help to more like against God and saying, where are you, God, and why are you sleeping? So therefore, he canceled the Levim saying this pasuk.
They went from pleading to kvetching.
Okay, you could say that, pleading to kvetching.
The shira that they sang every day, stone.
Yeah, there was a shira they sang every day.
This was part of it?
I'm asking. So it's a good question. It sounds like they would say this every day. But the shira we saw in the past, they would say different ones every day. So right. This seems to be some additional thing that they would say. I don't know where it comes from. It's a good question. But it says here, b'chol yom v'yom, that they would stand on the duchan, they would say this. So it seems to indicate that at some point in history they were saying this every day. You know, where that developed from.
Persecution.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it could be they instituted
it. The divine favor was manifest. People didn't understand.
People didn't understand what? That things were good and therefore they didn't understand the context according to what they're saying?
Right, to awaken, so he took it away because...
Okay, that's an interesting interpretation. Right, that's a different interpretation than I saw. Yeah. Right, okay. So like I said, there's different ways of reading this because it's difficult. In other words, there is such a pasuk and so what's so bad about it, right? So, okay. Ve'et ha-nukfim. Okay, they also canceled the nukvim. My nukvim. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shahayu Misartin La'egel Ben Karnav, Kadesh Shiipol Dam Be'enav. Okay, here's the thing. When they were shechting the animals in the Beit HaMikdash, they would make a little, what was the issue? They didn't want the animal to start, they didn't want to have a whole big scene, like fighting against the animal, and they didn't want it to be Tzar Balei Chayim. Again, exactly what the issue is, it's unclear. So what would they do? They would make a little cut, okay, between his karnaim, between his horns, so the blood would fall into his eyes and he wouldn't see what they were about to do. Okay, and therefore he'd be calmer. It's a little hard to understand this because you got to imagine when he'd feel them about to shech them, then he would go nuts. You know, it wasn't just the scene.
You mentioned that being blind doesn't make you calmer.
Right, that's also true.
That's upsetting.
Yes. Okay.
In front of him to do that.
Right.
Right. So anyway, they say, Ata ihu batil. He canceled it. Mishum de mechze kimuma. It looked like they were making a mum in the animal. Okay? And they didn't want it to look like the animal had a mum. And then, right, the whole thing was they were shechting it for the korban in the Beit HaMikdash. So they canceled this. B'matnita tana. But here's a different explanation. Okay? Obviously, no one exactly knew what this was. Shayu chovtin oto b'maklot. K'derech shosim oto l'fnei avodat kochavim. They would smash it with maklot the way the non-Jews would do it. Okay? And why would they do that? Again, because they wanted to kind of maim him a little bit, right? So he would stop moving around, and then they'd be able to shecht him properly. Amar lahen, ab matay atem machilim nevelot l'mizbech. They said, why are you doing this? You're going to basically, you know, make a nevela on the mizbech. Now they say, wait, nevelot? Hashachilu, what do you mean? It's not a nevela. What's a nevela? When the animal dies of its own, right, or from maybe you smacking it, but the animal's not dying here, you're going to shecht it. This is just pre-shechting. Ela trefot. It means, no, you're making it a trefa. What's a trefa? It's an animal. Okay, we say treif meat, non-kosher meat, but that's not really the interpretation. Treifa is an animal that's goses, that's about to die. So here, if you smack him in the back, he might turn into a goses, and then, you know, you have the problem that you're basically, now here they say, what's the issue here? Atem achilim nevelot treifot lamizbech. But what do you mean, treifot lamizbech? You also are then going to eat this korban. Forget about lamizbech. It's also, you can't eat a treifa. Anyway. But they say, obviously, putting on the mizbeach is also bad. So the Shema Nikev Krom Shomach, we're worried that maybe they were going to have a problem. They were going to, and as by smacking it, it would make a hole in the Krom of the Moach, of the brain, and therefore cause him to be a goses. So Amavit Kinlan Tabaot Bekarka. So they made these Tabaot. If you remember, we looked at the maps of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, I'm just going to borrow this for a second. There's a good picture here of the Tabaot. You see them on the map. They have these little rings, right? So we talked about them at some point. They had these rings in the Mizbeach. Each Mishmar had a ring in their name, and they would put the animal's neck through the ring, like they would probably pick up the ring and stick it on top of the neck, and that would hold the animal in place, and that would prevent the animal from, you know, making a big scene. So that's what they did instead of smacking them or cutting, you know, their...
It'd be really strong to do that.
I guess so. Yeah, I don't know. They must have been talented. They must have had a lot of training. Okay. Ad yamav haya patish makeh b'Yerushalayim. What's this patish makeh? So the Gemara says, b'chalosh ha-moed. What is this? People would do work with a patish, like, you know, I assume it was like a silversmith or things like that, the smiths, where they would bang with a patish. And it was davar ha-aved and it was allowed. Because on Chol HaMoed you can't work unless it's Davar HaAved, right? You're going to have a loss. But they stop them from doing it. Again, two different interpretations. Either because people won't know it's Davar HaAved and they'll think you can do any work. Or just the noise is so loud that it's disturbing. Like we have this issue of Hashma Kol on Shabbat. So maybe that was the issue here. Then on the Chag, we don't want to hear this loud banging noise. It's just not pleasant and we want to have an Avirav Chag. Kol Yamav Lo Haya Adam Tzarich Lish'ol Al HaDamai. That's what we saw, right? People didn't have to ask on the demai. Why? Kedamaran, like we said. Meaning, again, this is a little confusing, but what does it mean? They just assumed. In other words, at some point they would ask, did you take or did you not take? At this point, everyone, we just assume that nobody's taking Truman or Masrod, and therefore you have to take Truman or Masrod on your own. Okay. More things that go bad here. Misha Batla Sanhedrin. Once the Sanhedrin was no longer, now there's a big issue, does it mean the Sanhedrin, if you remember, moved... Had a few moves, right? A little before the destruction, it moved from where it sat in Lishkat HaGazid in the Beit HaMikdash to Yavne. Okay, and then from there it moved also to Usha, and there were a few movings of it. Question is this once there was no Sanhedrin at all, or does this mean when it left Lishkat HaGazid in the Beit HaMikdash? Kishabatla Sanhedrin batel hashir mi Beit HaMishtaot, shenemar b'shir lo yishtu yayin. Okay, this means that you're no longer allowed to sing at a party. Okay, we're going to have this whole thing about music and the issue of hearing music. Okay, when you're drinking wine, you're no longer allowed to sing. Mishametu Nevi'im Arishonim. When the first Nevi'im died, we're going to see what does this mean, Nevi'im Arishonim. What are the Rishonim? Batlu Urim V'tumim. The Urim V'tumim stopped working. Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash, Batel HaShamir. When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shamir was canceled, right? They no longer had the Shamir. The Shamir we're going to see was this type of worm that was they used for carving out those stones on the Choshen. V'nofet Sufim. This is a type of honey, we're going to see. Upasku anshe amanami Israel. Okay, the real believers, okay, that's what it seems to be, anshe amana. The real believers stopped. Okay, there were no more real solid believers. Shenemar, Oshia Hashem ki gamar chasid. You have to read the rest of this pasuk. Kipasu emunim mibnei adam, because they stopped, the people who really believed, the emunim, were no longer. Rashbag omer, he'i Rabbi Yoshua, miyom shacharab beit hamikdash. Okay, here's the real depressing line here. Rabbi Yoshua said that from the day the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, ein yom she'ein bo klala. There's no day that's not cursed, and that's every day is cursed. V'lo yarad hatal libracha. V'nital tam haperot. And as the tal no longer comes, tal is always seen as a bracha. It no longer came as a bracha, and it caused the flavor of the peirot to be like, there's no, you know, we don't have those good fruits anymore. Rabbi Yossi omer, af nital shuman haperot. Okay, the shuman of the peirot is no longer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, hatahara natla et hareach, hamasro natlu et shuman hadagan. Okay, so now he's saying, what caused what? The lack of tahara caused that there will be no more smells. Okay, what exactly this means, okay? It's not 100% clear, right? Like there's this wrath that's no longer. And the masrot, because people weren't doing masrot, therefore there's no more of the fat of the dagan, okay, of the wheat. The chachamim omrim haznut v'hakshafim kilu et hakol. Here we finally come back full circle to sota. Okay, the znut and the kshafim and the witchcraft cause everything to be destroyed. Okay, this is a, you know, you have to see, think about how to take the context of this mission. And maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow at the Siyum. You know, what this, why we're getting to this, you know, major, it sounds like doom is coming, right? The end of time. Everything
must be what they felt when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed.
Right, exactly. It must be this feeling of, you know, we no longer have, you know, it's this, right, exactly. You have to remember also, this is written exactly right after the Churban, right, within the years right after it. And they really felt impending doom, right? This is the end. Okay. Umimaydim ishabatlas sanhedre ktiv. Amrafuna berit, and what does that have to do with music, right? That we can't have music anymore. Why is it connected with the canceling of the Sanhedrin? Amarafuna berit Rav Yoshua, da amakra, zikenim mishar shavatu, bachurim yiniginatam. There's the kenim and their sha'ar, that's the Sanhedrin, stopped, right? Shavatu. Bachurim yiniginatam, and therefore the bachurim stopped singing. There's clearly connects these two ideas. Amarav, una deshama zimra te'akir. Any Udna is Ozen, okay, Dalet and Zion switch in Aramaic. Any ear that hears music will be uprooted. Here it sounds like not even in the context of drinking wine, just any music. Okay, again, right, this is, right, this era of, you know, we can't enjoy anything anymore because things are bad. Amarava, Zimra Bebeta, Churva Besifa. If you have music in the house, it means that destruction is going to come into the saf habayit, the entrance way of the house. Shenemar, kol yusharer b'chalon, let me just see the nikud, chorev basaf, okay? If there's a kol singing in the window, there will be destruction in the saf, the entrance. Ki arza era. We're going to explain this in a minute. My ki arza era. What does that mean? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Bayit hamisubach ba'arazim. Yirhu. If you have a house that's full of these cedar trees, right? Remember, that's a really strong tree. That's a city. In other words, era doesn't seem to imply city here. Ela afilu. What does it mean? Afilu bayit hamisubach ba'arazim. Even a house that's made of the cedar, you know, the wood is from the cedar tree, which is so strong. Mitro'ea. Right, it falls apart. That's what the era. It's from mitro'ea. Okay, it starts to fall apart. Meaning, if you have music in the house, even the strongest tree will start to collapse. The strongest house made of the strongest trees will start to collapse. Amrav Ashi, Shmami. Now, there's another thing we can learn from this pasuk. Ki matchil churva b'sifa matchil. When the churban starts, it starts in the entrance way. Shneamar chorev basaf. You could also learn that same concept from another place. The shi'iya yukat sha'ar. The shi'iya, it means like a desolate house will start being destroyed from the sha'ar will be hit. Okay? But the shi'iya is also, according, again, there's a few interpretations, we'll go with one. It was the name of a shade, of one of the mezikin. Okay? One of the demons. So Amar Rabbi Rav Ashi, Lididi Chazele, I saw the Shi'iya. Okay, and they say basically, this demon, what would he do? He would attack the entranceway. Okay, and I saw this, and it was like going around crazy like an ox. Amar Rav Huna, Zimmer dinagde udebakre shari digarde asi. Now, okay, if you're going to talk about music, no more music. What do we all know? Music helps people sometimes, right? It's very useful. So now they're going to say the music of the people who would pull in the boats. Okay, that's the nagde, and the debakare are the people who were the roetzon, you know, the roe bakar. Okay, the shepherds, or it could be they're also the people who are threshing with the bakar in the fields. They're using them for threshing. Their music is allowed, but de garde, if you remember, we've seen these gardaim. They're known as like the lowlives, okay, like the least important people, the weavers. Okay, the weavers are forbidden. Now, there's two different. There's probably more than two interpretations, but I'll give you two. One is that the weavers don't really need the music to do their work, whereas the other people really need the music to get their work going, maybe because it's harder physical work. That's one possibility. Another, going more with the interpretation that the gardaim were like the lowlives, is that the type of music they listen to, and this appropriate music and this inappropriate music, and that's what it's talking about, okay? Which would then obviously lead us to conclude that the problematic music they're discussing here is inappropriate music, whereas appropriate music would be more allowed. Whereas if you say it's just a matter of does it help you or does it not help you, well, then only if it helps you and it's helping you with your work would it be allowed. But then it's really applying to any music. It would be a problem. Rav Huna batil zimra. Rav Huna canceled all music. Kam me'a avze bezuza. U'me'a se'achita bezuza. Okay, what did that mean? That the prices dropped. In other words, everything was accessible to people. The prices were so you could get 100 ducks for a zuz, or you could get 100 se'av chitim of wheat for a zuz. The lowi bayim, people didn't even need it, right? There was so much supply that it was great. Ata Rav Chisda zilzal bei. He was mezalzel in this, meaning, what does it mean? He wasn't machpid on, you know, he wouldn't punish people who were listening to music. Ibaya avze bezuze. People wanted to buy avazim for azuz below mishtakach, and they couldn't. Okay? Amar Rav Yosef, meaning everything went bad, right? Prices rose, and people couldn't buy what they wanted. Amar Rav Yosef, zimra gavre va'ane nashe, if men sing and women answer, pritsuta. That's pritsut. Zimra nashe va'ane gavre, if it's the opposite, the women sing and the men answer, ke'esh b'na'oret. That's much worse, right? It's like a fire in the twigs, you know, that it'll like all explode and fire. L'maynaf kamina, what's the difference whether it's pritsuta or ke'esh b'na'oret? L'bitulei ha'makameha, if you're going to pick your issue, which one are you going to stop? Like if for the people who are doing all of this, right, you see here clearly if they made these, they wrote the people weren't keeping. So if you're going to have to try to fight against one of them, well, you better do the one that's ke'esh b'na'oret. Stop the women who are singing and the men answering them rather than stop the men singing and the women answering. Okay, this is all, you know, clearly indicating what was going on, that people weren't keeping to these takanot they made. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha-shoteh ba'arba mine zemer. Okay, people who are drinking and sing with four different types of kelim. Now, we're going to quote a pasuk that gives four different types of kelim, but it seems to be that it means any kind of kelim. It doesn't mean necessarily these specific four. Mevi chamesh poraniyot le'olam. Okay, cause five bad things to happen. Shene'emar, here's a pasuk that's going to show that. Hoy mashkimei boker, those who wake up early. Woe to those who wake up early. Shechar yirdefu, they run after drinking. Birim acharei b'neshef, they go out late.
Stay up late at night while the wine inflames them.
Okay, right. So macharei b'neshef yain yadli came. They stay up very late while the wine lights them up. Vayihi kinur v'nevel tof v'chalil v'yayim mishtehem. Okay, the tof, the nevel, the kinur, right? All these musical instruments they're using, and they're drinking wine. V'et pol Hashem lo yabitu. And they don't see the way of God, right? The work of God. Maktiv acharav. So what does it say after? What's the woe that's going to come upon them? Lachen gala ami biblidat, shegormim galut laolam, ufodom etei rav, shemibim rav laolam. And as they cause galut, they cause famine. V'hamonot sechat sameh, shegormim l'torah shetishakach milomdeha. Okay, hamono is their great ones, are thirsty, meaning there's no one learning Torah anymore. They're going to forget their Torah. V'yisach adam v'yishpal ish, shegormim shiflut l'sano shel kadosh baruch hu, which means... They say they cause shiflut, lowness to come to son osha l'kadosh baruch hu. What does that mean? To a kadosh baruch hu. We've seen this before where they say the opposite. How do we know the ish is God? We've seen this before. Ve'ein ish al kadosh baruch hu. Shenemar Hashem ish mochama. Okay, God is an ish. Veinei gvohim tishapalna, shegromim shiflut shel Yisrael. They cause Yisrael to be low. Those are the five things. Umakti v'charav, lachin yurchiva sha'ol nafsha, upara pia libli chok, v'yarat hadara v'hamona v'sha'ona v'alazba. Okay, then basically everything's going to go, you know, they're all going to go to hell. Everything, that's the end of it. Okay. Mishametu Nevi'im Arishonim. Now we're going to try to figure out who are these Nevi'im Arishonim. Ma Nevi'im Arishonim. Amar Avhuna Zed David Ushmuel Ushlomo. They're the first Nevi'im. David, Shmuel, Shlomo. Okay? Obviously they're not all Nevi'im, right? They're...
They weren't known as Nevi'im.
Right. They weren't, but it's really referring to like the first Nevi'im, Shmuel.
That time period.
Right, that time period. That's what they're saying. The time period of, right, like we call Nevi'im Rishonim, right? That's Nevi'im Rishonim time period. Rav Nachman Amar, Bimei David, so now, basically they're saying, from the time of them, that was the last time the Urim V'Tumim worked. It's actually weird to give three different, right, there were three different times, really. There were three different generations, Shmuel, Devin, and Shlomo. But what they're saying is, in those three people's generations, they were the Urim V'Tumim worked. After that, it didn't work. So now, Rav Nachman comes and tells us, but wait a minute, Bimei David, Zimnin Salik, V'Zimnin Lo Salik. It didn't always work in the time of David. Okay, how do we know? Sha'al Sha'al Tzadok va'altalo. Sha'al Evyatar v'lo altalo. Shenemar v'yal Evyatar. Okay, what happened with Evyatar? There were some times where Evyatar asked for the Urim V'Tumim, but there was one time where he asked for the Urim V'Tumim and it didn't work for him. Okay, and they took him, they removed him from being the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so you see here that it didn't work for him, and because of that he was removed from being the Kohen Gadol, so it didn't always work. But it's not necessarily a comment in going against this. It's just saying, by the way, even when it worked, it didn't always work. Mativ Rabba Bar Shmuel. Rabba Shmuel asks a question. Vayhi lidrosh Elohim. Okay, what's this pasuk? This is a pasuk in Divrei Yamim. Okay, here it says here. Vayhi lidrosh Elohim b'yimei Zechariyahu hamevin bira'ot ha'Elohim. What does that seem to imply? He understood how to ask God, right? Now, who is this? This is at the time of Uzziah, who was the son of Amatziah, one of the later kings, way after the time of Shlomo. So you see that there was a Urim V'Tumim then. Kol Yimei Zechariah, Hamevim B'Yorot Elohim, right? Ma'ila B'Urim V'Tumim, is it not the Urim V'Tumim? So they say, no, lo B'Nevi'im. He was, right? Mevim B'Yorot Elohim means he was a Navi, not that he was, he had the Urim V'Tumim. Tashma, Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash Rishon, Batlu Arei Migrash, Upasku Arim B'Tumim. Here's another problematic source. What does it say? When the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the first one, the Arei Migrash were canceled. Those were the Arei Migrash of the Levim. The Urim B'Tumim stopped. Upasak Melech Mi Beit David. There were no more kings from Beit David. V'im Lachashach Adam Lomar. And if someone were to... So first of all, it says, right? Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash Rishon Pasku Arim B'Tumim. That's way after Shlomo. Right, he just built the first Beit HaMikdash. Certainly, was way before the destruction. And im lachashacha adam lomar vayomer hatirshata lahem asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakodeshim. Hatirshata. Remember, we saw that was Nehemiah. The Nehemiah said to the people, asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakodeshim ad amog kohen leurim v'tumim. Right, he says no one's going to eat from the kodesh kodeshim until we have a kohen doing the urim v'tumim. Right, which seems to imply the same thing. That what it was canceled in the first Beit HaMikdash, and Nehemiah says no one else can eat from the kodesh kodeshim until the urim v'tumim comes back, which seems to imply that it was just lost in the Churban. Right, it wasn't lost so many generations ago. And more lo, so if somebody were to say to you that, and more lo, so someone's going to say to you, look, there's your proof that it existed all by Rishon, because Nehemiah is saying to them, now that we're going back, we can't actually eat the Kodesh Kodeshim until the Urim V'Tumim comes back, meaning it was just lost in the Churban. So, and more lo, he didn't mean it that, he meant, ka'adam omer l'chavero, ad shichyu meitim v'yavo Mashiach ben David. He was saying, right, like we say, until the Mashiach comes, right? It didn't mean that it was just lost and that the Urim V'Tumim any day is going to come back. It was more like saying, you know, in the future, basically, we're never going to be able to eat this until, you know, some future point when Tchiyat HaMeitim happens, when Mashiach comes, when, you know, some future point. So don't use that as a problem. El Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, but we still have the problem that it seems that it was Charav in Zman Bayit Rishon, at the end of the Zman Bayit Rishon, and not in the time of David. So Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, my Nevi'im Rishonim, Lafuki Mechagai Zachariah Malachi, Da'achronim Ninhu. Okay, it's the Nevi'im that came right before. In other words, Rishonim as opposed to Achronim. The Achronim were Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, which were right after the Churban. And therefore, they're saying it was the ones before them, basically meaning the ones around the time of the Churban by Rishon, okay, which matches that bright. Okay, it's just Rishonim compared to the very, very last ones, the ones that came just before them. Tana Rabbanan. Mishametu Chagai Zachariah Malachi. This is very famous, right? When they died, Nistaka Ruach HaKodesh Mishrael. They were the last Nevi'im. There was no more Ruach HaKodesh after them. But even so, okay, this is just a lead-in, right? This is, since we just said now they're the Achronim, how do we know they're the Achronim? Because it says in the Nisaka Ruach HaKodesh after them. But even though we didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, what do we have that's like Ruach HaKodesh? The Bat Kol. Now we're going to have a few stories with a Bat Kol. Shapam Achat Hayum Subim Ba'aliyat Beit Guria B'Yericho. Okay, they were in this Aliyah in Beit Guria. They always like sat in these Aliyot, right? That's where they had these meetings. Okay, Bat Kol came down. Va'amra, yesh b'chem adam achad sh'ra'oi sh'tishreh shchina alav, ela she'ein doro ra'oi l'kach. Okay, they said there's one, right, the Bat Kol came down and said there's one person who's ra'oi, that the shchina would fall upon him, but the generation is not ready for it. Natnu enehem b'hilel azaken. Okay, and it was they all assumed that it was talking about Hillel HaZaken. Ukishamei tispidu he chasid he anav tamido shel Ezra. Where is the chasid? Where is the anav, the talmid of Ezra? That was their hesped to them. V'shuv pam acheret, another time, it's going to be a very similar story. Hayum subim ba'aliyah b'Yavne. Okay, not in Yericho, but in Yavne. Natna lehem bat kol min ha-shamayim. V'amra lehem, yesh b'chem adam achad sh'ra'oi sh'tishreh shchina alav. Ela she'ein doro zaka'in l'kach. Instead of ra'oi l'kach, this is zaka'in l'kach. Same thing. Okay, the generation's not ripe for it. Natnu enehem b'Shmuel ha-katan. Okay, they put their eyes on Shmuel ha-katan. That they assumed he was the one. Okay, this is, by the way, the hesped that Moshe Lichtenstein gave for Rav Aaron. He said this at the end of his hesped. He quoted from this Gemara. Shimon, he said as he was dying, Shimon Atzadik, Shimon v'Yishmael l'chorva, he gave like a little semi-nevua. Okay, he said, Shimon and Yishmael l'chorva are going to be destroyed, v'chaberohi l'katla, and their friends are going to be killed, ushar ama l'biza, and the rest of the nation is going to be, l'bizayon, I guess, right? There will be also...
terrible tragedies.
Okay, terrible tragedies. Ba'akan zgiin atidin l'mete al ama. How do they translate that?
That was terrible tragedy.
Okay, and all the terrible tragedies are going to come upon the nation.
To be despoiled was
previous. Okay, in other words, he basically, again, this impending doom is going to happen. V'afal Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava b'kshu lomar hechasid he'anav. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava also, you remember him? He comes up in the Asarah Harugei Machut. So they wanted to say about him, hechasid he'anav, elash shenitrafash sha'ah, but they couldn't. They lost their chance. Why? She'em must be din al Harugei Machut. They don't make Hespedim and Harugei Machut because they're worried about what the enemy is going to do. So they miss their opportunity to say it about him, but they're basically putting him in the same category as these other rabbis. Mishacharab Beit HaMikdash Batel HaShamir. Okay, what's this Shamir? Tana Rabbanan. Shamir Shebo Bana Shlomo at Beit HaMikdash. He used this worm for building the Beit HaMikdash. Shneemar, Babai Bihibanoto, Evan, second, Babai Bihibanoto, Evan Shlema, Masa Nivne, Umakavot, Bahagarzen kol kli barzel lo nishma b'bayit b'hibanoto. They didn't use any iron weapons, okay? Any tools to build it, okay? They just built it with avanim. So how could that be, right? Okay? Hadvarim kichtaban divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's exactly the way it says. They didn't use any iron implements at all. Amar lo Rabbi Nechemia v'chi afshar lomar ken v'halo kfarna emar kol elu avanim yikarot migororot b'migeira. They used tools on them. Okay? In Ken, Matamu Lamar Lonasham Bebayat Bibanoto. So then what does it mean when it says they didn't? Shaya matkimi bachutu machnis mi bifnim. They would do it outside. They wouldn't do the work inside with using these metal implements. They would use them outside. I'm a Rebbe. Ni'im divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now we have this machloket. One says none would use, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And the other one says, no, they did use them, they just used them outside. So now they say, Nir'in Dever Rabbi Yehuda b'avnei Mikdash. V'dever Rabbi Nechemia b'avnei Beito. They say, when it comes to the Mikdash, Rabbi Yehuda was right. They didn't use any implements, metal implements, in the Avnei Mikdash. But when the Avnei, the Bayit of Shlomo, they did. And what did they do? They did them outside and they brought them inside. V'Rabbi Nechemia, Shamir l'may Ata. So if that's the case, what did they need the Shamir for? Because the whole concept here was that they used the Shamir, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who they didn't use any of these metal implements, they used this type of worm to etch out what they wanted to be etched out in the stones. Okay, when they needed things etched. So Rabbi Nechemia, what did they need the Shamir for? Ata mibay lechiditanya. He needed it for this. Not for the rocks in general, but for the avanim halalu, for the avanim of the choshen and the efo, what would they do? Ein kotvin otam b'dio, mishum shenemar pituchei chotam. Okay, it says pituchei chotam. So therefore, em esartin alehem beizma. Right? They can't. They couldn't use geo on them because it said pituchei chotam, and they couldn't scratch it out with an implement mishum shenemar bimlo otam. There's a bit of a problem here if you say this about the choshen and the ephod, because the bimlo otam doesn't refer to them. There's a big debate what avanim we're talking about here exactly. Okay, but we'll leave it as a question. But most of them say it's the choshen and the ephod. Ela, so what would they do? Kotev alehem b'dio, umar el, and as they had to be etched out, they couldn't. Pituchei chotam means that it was inscribed, like it was in it, not written on top of it. But it says bimlo otam, meaning they were whole, meaning they weren't etched out. So how could it be, right? You know, it's either they were written on or they were etched out, but it can't be either. So how do they possibly etch things out? So what would they do? Ela koteva lehem b'dio, they would write on them b'dio, but mar elahen shamir Shamir bibachutz, they would put the shamir, the worm, on the dio there. Vehein nivkao me'alehem, the worm would go along the lines of the dio, and then it would like crack open kind of thing, where, okay, we're going to see in a second what happens. Kite'ena zo shenivkap yemot hachama, the te'enim, okay, the figs would open up in the summer months. Ve'ena chasera klum, but you wouldn't lose any part of the fruit, it would just kind of open up. But it's not that it was any less than it was. So that's how you could have it etched in without actually, they're still bimlo otam, they're still entirely whole. They just have these cracks now, which didn't remove. It's not like when you etch a stone, what?
It's like laser today.
Right, like laser, yafe. This is the old laser. They use these worms to do it, okay? Okay, bik'ah, so, and just like a bik'ah, shenivka b'yimot ha'gshamim b'yena chasera klum. Also a bik'ah, a valley that opens up, right? Okay, Tanur Banan. Shamir zebriyato kiselra. It's in the size of a selra, barley seed. Umishesha yemei breshit nivra. This comes up in, right in, where? Perkei Avot. All those things that were created in shesh yemei breshit. There's this whole list of things. Ve'en kol davar kashe yachol la'amo b'fanav. It's so strong that nothing else can knock it down. Bameh mishamrino tobi. You still have to be careful, right? It's weird. On the one hand, nothing can destroy it. On the other hand, they wanted to protect it very much so. So how would they... What?
They could lose it.
They could lose it, right? So how did they protect it? Korchim oto b'sfogin shel tzemer, like cotton balls, right? Okay. Umenichin oto b'etane shel avar. They would use these lead shfofarot, lead tubes. Mele'as subei sorin. It was filled with the fibers from the barley. It was very soft, and that's where they would save them. Amar Rabbi Ami, mishacharav mikdash rishon betelash shir... Okay, so now, okay, we're done with that. Now we're getting to new things. Mishacharav mikdash rishon betelash shira parnida. This is a very... shiraim are the... not shiraim like leftovers. The shiraim are the silk. Okay, this very special silk. Uschuchit levana, white glass. Okay, they were no longer around. Tanya namihachi, mishacharav mikdash rishon, another one, betelash shira parnida, uschuchit levana, urechav barzel. Okay, chariots made of barzel. V'yeshamrim af yayin karush, this congealed wine that was very special wine, habami snir, that came from this place snir, hadomeki igulei tvela, they were like, we talked about these igulei tvela, that they were intoxicating, right, the pressed figs that they would eat, okay, so the wine was like that, it was when it congealed. B'nofet sufim, we saw that in the Mishnah, my nofet sufim, amarav, solet shetzafa al gabei nafa, v'doma li'isa shenilosha b'dvash v'shemen. This is the solet that would kind of stick to the top of the sifter that they would use. And it was so sweet, it was like dough that was mixed up with shemen, with oil and honey. Levi amar, shtei kikarot hanidbakot v'tanur v'tofchot uba'ot, ad shemigiot lo zo lazo. There were two loaves that would get stuck to each other and stuck to the walls of the tanur. Basically, it sounds like they would fill up the whole tanur. Okay, these special loaves. The Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi amar zed vash haba minat tzipia, or some people say minat tzofim. Okay, here the tzofim. So there were these things that came from. Okay, we're going to see what these are. My mashma, what is this? Kini b'targi mar sheshet kima dinitzan debriata v'shaitan berome alma umatian duvsha me isveitura. This is about the. This is the targum on the pasuk when the Emorim, right? The people from Emori. Right, they came to fight against the Ma'apilim. It says they came from Birome Alma, from the heights of the world, meaning from up on the mountains, and they came down like the Dvash from the mountains. Okay, the way the Dvash came from the mountains. So they're saying that it came, that Tzifia, the Tzofim, is always the high places. So the Dvorim came from the high places. That's like the special honey comes from the dvarim that come from high up. Tnan hatam. Here's another thing. Once we're talking about dvash, we're going to see something we've seen before. Kol anitzok tahor, chutz midvash zipim v'hat tapichim. We saw this before, which is when you're pouring something from one kli to another, if the bottom kli is tameh and your kli is tahor and you're pouring it, so we don't say that the stream jumps back up to the thing that's inside the upper kli and makes it tameh. Okay, only whatever falls into the bottom kli. But except for this dvash zipim v'hat tapichim that are so thick that it's continuous flow, and what's considered up top is going to also become tameh because it's connected to the bottom. My zipim, what are these dvash zipim? Where does it come from? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Dvash shem is zayfimbo. It's so good that they, what's the word? They
dilute.
They dilute it, and what's ziyuf is it's a fraud. A forgery. What do? They can mix it with other things, right? Because it's so thick that they can add water to it and basically make a forgery here, like not exactly the truth of what it really is. V'rish Lakish amar al shem mekomo. So there's a machloket. Is it ziyuf or does it come from the name of the place? Kedichtiv, zif v'telem u'ba'alo. Those are three places, so zif is a place. Kayotze b'divar, we have the exact same machloket in another thing. Atalmer bivo hazipim v'yamru l'sha'ul halo David. This is when David was hiding from Sha'ul and they came, he was hiding in Zipim. And the people there said to Sha'ul, here David is hiding here. So now they say, my Zifim. Was it really the name of a place or was it the way they described the people because of what they did? Rabbi Yochanan, b'nei Adam, ha'mizayfim divrehem. Right? Here they kind of gave away his hiding place. Rabbi Elazar, amar al shem koma. No, it was just because of the name of the place. Kedifthib zip betelem ubalot. Okay, last one for today. Pasku anshe amana. Am Rabbi Yitzchak. Elu b'nei Adam shehem aminim b'kadosh baruch hu. Okay, these are people, God believers. Titania Rabbi Lezer Agadol Omer. Kol mi sheyesh lo pap esilo v'omer ma ochal l'machar. Eino ela mikatnei amana. In other words, these are the true believers. People who have a full basket of food for today, don't worry about tomorrow because they know God's going to help them. And those are the people that are no longer. V'hainu damar Rabbi Elazar. May dechtiv ki mi baz liyom katnut. What does it mean? Mi garam l'tzadikim sheyitbazbez shulchanan la'atid lavo. What caused them to basically lose their place in the future? Katnut behem shelo ha'eminu b'kadosh baruch hu, that they didn't fully believe in God. Rava amar, no, elu k'taneh b'nei rish'ei Yisrael shemibazbezim din avihem la'atid lavo. Okay, these are the children that ruin their father's din la'atid lavo. They say, "Amrim lefanav ribono shelam, echar shata atid li para mehem, lame hiketa shineim bam." And since you're in the end going to exact punishment from them, why did you taratam alenu motenu benifrata mehem b'chayehem? That's why did you punish them in their lives if you're going to punish them la'atid lavo? Okay, so that's it for today. Tomorrow we'll finish. We'll have a siyum, and okay, that will be.